Today I want to talk to you about the vision of our church. You know, as we begin the new year, it's good to take some time to talk about our church, what our role should be, and what our job is, and what we should be doing in the church. Many of you know our vision is to reach the lost and the hurting, to be a people who will grow spiritually, and to learn to love God and love others. We could say that the three words sum up our vision: reach, grow, and love. It's important that we know who we are as believers and what God has called us to do. First and foremost, we know that we are all here to influence lives. I thank God that, you know, we are a local church, and I think that, you know, there are certainly other churches that love God and preach the name of Jesus, and some of these things are not unique to just us, but we have to pay attention to what God has told us and be doers of what he has said to us. First and foremost, we are here to reach other people. We are here to influence the lives of others. I think that has to be number one on everyone's list, because it's number one on God's list. You know, we get born again. How many of you are thankful that you're born again? You know, we take that for granted so much, that we know that we have a relationship with God. If we're driving down the road and we get into trouble, we know that we can immediately say, "Father, help me." We know that he is there to strengthen us and help us and give us wisdom. Have any of you ever called on the Lord for wisdom in your life? I know there's been times you just, I don't know what to do. Lord, help me. And there it comes. There's the answer. Well, you know, there are people that don't know the goodness of our God. They don't know the love of God. They don't know how God can influence their life. And they won't know unless we tell them. You know, God looks to the church to be his voice. God looks to us. We are the church. You, not this building, you are the church. How can we influence the lives of others? We can do it through a number of ways. Through prayer. Prayer can move people. Prayer can change hearts. Prayer can change circumstances. Prayer can do a lot of good. We should be a praying church. What did Jesus say? My house should be called a house of prayer. Shouldn't we look like a house of prayer? Remember, we've been talking about prayer over the last few weeks. Prayer should not be our last resort. It should be our first response. Prayer, prayer, prayer is going to change people. How can we influence the lives of others? Through evangelism. I know some people think that's a dirty word. Evangelism. You sharing what God has done in your life. That's what evangelism is. Sharing the good news of the gospel. Notice the Bible always talks about sharing the good news. You know, we're not supposed to go around and correct everyone. We're not supposed to have a long pointy finger and yell at people and scream at them and tell them that they're sinners and that they're going to hell. I think most sinners know that they're sinners. Not that, you know, I'm not saying if the Spirit of God tells you to say something, you know, obviously you're going to obey the Spirit of God, but it's the good news. It's his kindness that leads us towards repentance. It's God's love, God's mercy, God's grace that draws people in. Aren't you glad that he was merciful to you? Aren't you glad that he showed mercy and grace to you? Aren't you glad that he sent someone along your path to love you in? We don't want people to think wrong thoughts about who God is. God is not a vindictive judge sitting in heaven waiting to smite and strike and correct and beat up people. God gets no pleasure sending people to hell. We know that God doesn't send them to hell. It's our choice. But God, that's not the heart of God. God doesn't want people to go to hell. Hell was not created for people. It was created for the devil and the fallen angels. How can we influence the lives of others? Caring for other people. Caring for other people. You know, I could throw a lot of church words at you this morning about evangelism and about, you know, the ministry of reconciliation. And I could throw a lot of churchy words at you this morning, but it really boils down to this. It's really about your concern for other people. You'll never pray for people unless you truly have a concern for people. You have to love people. You have to care about their final destination. You have to care about their life. You have to care about what's going on in their world. Your concern will motivate you to pray. Your concern for them will motivate you to talk to them about Jesus. Your love for them, your desire to help them and see them set free is what's going to help them come to know Jesus as Lord. And again, you know, I could talk about your spiritual responsibility all day long. I could lay a guilt trip on you saying that you're not a good Christian if you don't witness to other people. You know, we've heard some of those things. But again, I find that the best motivator is loving people. Do you care that people in your family are going to spend eternity in hell? Do you care that people you work next to, they have no source of help in their life? Do you care? Do you have a concern for them? It's your concern that will give you the courage to speak up and say something about Jesus. Your concern for people will interrupt your day, and you'll take the time for another person. I could have everyone in this room tell me, are you a busy person? Just about every hand would go up in this room that we're busy people. You know, we've got things to do. Even if you're retired, you've got things to do. You've got emails to check. You've got kids to see. You've got things to do. You've got a job to work at. You've got a family to take care of, a household to clean. You've got banking. You've got all kinds of appointments and things to do. Everyone is busy. But we can't use that as an excuse. When we stand before the Lord, He's not going to want to hear, well, you know, Lord, I was busy. I was really super busy. You know me. I'm a busy person. We're all busy. But is your busyness more important than showing love to somebody else? When the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and says, you know what? Your neighbor needs some prayer. Would you go over there and lay hands on them? You know, we're all called to do that. Bible says, for those that believe, anybody believe? They shall lay their hands upon the sick and they shall recover. We all can do that, not just pastor. We all can do that. But are you going to do that? Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt your busy day? You need to. I'm your pastor. I'm here to talk to you about your spiritual life. Sometimes your spiritual life needs a little rearranging. You need to rearrange your priorities. You need to shift some things around. You need to make sure that your spiritual life is prioritized, that God is first in your life. What does the scripture say in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things will be added unto you. We get that flipped around. We pursue all the things. Well, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to get this thing, and I got to get that thing, and I got to do this thing, and I got to... Put Him first. Put Him first, and He will help you take care of all the other things. We just need to get it right. We are all called to be a light. We are all called to be a light, not just the pastor, not just church leadership. We're all called to be a light in the world that we are in. You don't have to pack your bag and move to China. There are people right in your neighborhood, right at the place you work, the post office you go to, the bank you go to, the restaurant that you frequent, right where you live. There are people that do not know Jesus. You're supposed to be a light to them. Well, I'm not very good at preaching. No, but you can talk about your relationship with Jesus. Do you love Him? Has He helped you? Has He done anything for you? If nothing else, He saved you. You can talk about that. How many of you know you're going to heaven? There's lots of people who wish they knew. Think about when you didn't know if you were going to get into heaven. Was that something that you thought about? Yeah. There are things that you can share. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God wants all. All. That says a lot about our God. He doesn't have favorites. He wants everybody, as many as he can. As everybody that he can draw in, he wants them. So we have a job to do. We have something to do. We have to go out and influence the lives of others for Jesus. Not saying you have to knock on doors and hand out tracts, but if God tells you to do that, do that. But you know, it's just living your life in front of other people. I was the business manager for Kay Jewelers back in when I went to Bible school and when we first started the church. And they had a break room that everybody kind of sat and ate their lunch. And I remember just one time I bowed my head and prayed before I ate. And two of my coworkers were watching me. And I wasn't doing it to impress them. I didn't even know that they were watching me. But after I got done praying, they asked me what I was doing. And I said I was giving thanks for the food that I was going to eat. And it gave me an opportunity to share the gospel just because I prayed before I ate. God will find these appointments for you. God will find these connections for you. God will put words in your mouth. God will give you opportunity if you are willing. If you are looking for opportunities, God will line them up at your door. The repairman that comes to your house to fix the washing machine. I can't tell you how many times I have prayed with repair people. Not because I planned it, but it's just one of those Holy Spirit meetings that God put on my books. Oh, you're a pastor. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, my bad. Oh, can I pray for you? Will you? Yeah, I will. You know, again, it's just those little things. The Bible tells us in Matthew, the 28th chapter, that Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." We have a job to do. We are to be a people that reaches out to other people. We are to go. We are supposed to care about other people. This is not just something we keep on the back of our bulletin. Oh yeah, our vision is, reach, grow, love. Isn't that clever? Look at the pretty logos. Isn't that clever? No, that's there to remind us that we should be doing something. We should be reaching other people. We should be growing spiritually, and we should be loving God and loving others. So let's look at this other aspect of growing. It's your responsibility to grow spiritually. We're all supposed to grow up in Christ. So how do we grow? Well, there's a number of ways: through teaching, through worship, through prayer, through leadership, being teachable, being hungry. When you come to church, be hungry. Don't just sit there like a bump on a log, taking up air. Be hungry. Expect to get something from God. Did you ever go to church and, you know, you didn't quite feel like going to church? And you were so glad you went because when you left, you felt uplifted, you felt encouraged, you felt inspired, you felt God show up in your life. Come expecting God to do something in your life. Come hungry to church. Have a desire to worship God. The team is not up here just playing so that you could critique their music. They're trying to lead you in a place where you worship God. They're worshiping God here, but they're trying to get you to worship God in your life. That's one way that we grow spiritually, by worshiping, by spending time in his presence. You know, we can take on the role of a leader in the church, discipling others, helping other people grow. When you teach others, it helps you grow. When you lead others, it helps you grow in other areas of your life. There are many, many ways to grow spiritually, but we need to make sure that we're putting effort in growing spiritually. That's up to you. You can be a Christian for 30 years and still be a baby. You can sit there and have someone spoon feed you the Bible and not open it yourself, not pray yourself, not seek the Lord yourself. Oh, I'm saved. Yeah, but you're a big fat baby. We have to grow up. We have to develop ourselves spiritually. Over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I want to read there, Ephesians chapter 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's just stop there for a minute. God placed these gifts in the body of Christ, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, right, the prophets. These are all in the body to help you grow so that you can do the work of the ministry. Some people have this idea that people in ministry do the work and you're all here to cheer us on. That's not how it works. You're not here to cheer me on. I'm here to train you so that you can do the work. You can develop people. You can go out and reach people. You can grow people up spiritually. You can pray for people. You can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You can speak words of encouragement to other people that you would know God yourself. That's why I'm here, to train you up so that you can do the work of the ministry. That's the purpose of the giftings. And it says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. What does the Bible say? That we should no longer be children. What would it be like if you were a parent and had a 30-year-old child and you were trying to put a bottle in his mouth and change his diaper? Would that be would that speak well of you as a parent? I think not. We need to grow up spiritually. Children don't know how to take care of themselves. Children can't take care of other people. Children can't feed themselves, dress themselves, walk or talk. But we can as adults. That's the idea, that we would grow up, that we would be functioning members of the body of Christ, that we would be fruitful and be able to help others as they come in. No longer children tossed to and fro, carried with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We are called to grow up spiritually. You're called to know the difference between right and wrong doctrine. You're called to know what the Word of God says. You're called to know who God is. If someone stands up and starts talking about God and they say things that are unscriptural and untrue, you should know the difference. You should be able to say, that's not who God is. That's not what the Word says. That's not what the Spirit of God says. You have to grow in these areas. It's your responsibility to grow up spiritually, to train yourself. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to train yourself to be godly. Train yourself. Train your mind. Renew your mind and think right and talk right and live right and act right. Be holy as I am holy, God said. You can't be passive with the things of the Spirit. Well, my mom is spiritual. That'll be good enough. She'll tell me what to do. My mom was spiritual, and she did tell me what to do, but she's not here anymore. So I had to get a clue myself. Well, my spouse is spiritual, so I'm good. No, you're going to have to know it yourself. You're going to have to grow up spiritually. When you stand before the Lord, your mom or your dad or your spouse won't be standing next to you. It's going to be you and him. Did you grow up? Did you function as an adult in the body of Christ? You know, it's important that you grow spiritually. And you can't get enough on Sunday morning alone. You can't get enough on Sunday morning alone. You have to feed yourself. You have to develop your relationship with God on your own. It's your love for God that's going to keep you strong. It's your love for God, no matter what comes in this life, that you love God, that you love God. That's what's going to make the difference over the course of your life. If you love God, tell him. Tell him you love him every day. Love God, love God. That gets to our third point there, loving God and loving others. How will we do that? Well, again, there's a number of ways that we can do that, through missions, through outreach, through relationships, learning to love other people, learning to walk in love towards other people, reaching out to others and not expecting anything in return, loving people just because you can love them. You know, sometimes we always have the angle, what's in it for me? That's not loving people. We love people because God told us to love people. And people are precious to God. And because they're precious to Him, they should be precious to us. Develop a relationship to show God's love to someone. Is there someone in your life that doesn't know God? Have the attitude that you can take time to love them. John 13, 35 says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love is always expressed. If you're not expressing it, you're not loving. You have to express love. You have to express love. You do that through your words, through your actions, by supporting missions, by reaching out to the lost, by caring about your neighbors, by praying for other people, by showing your love to other people. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter, you know, that chapter ends that says, love never fails. Love never fails. Well, people might not want to hear your doctrine. People might not want to hear your sermon, but they'll take your love. They'll take your love. Love on people. Love on people. Stop being so busy. Stop being so self-centered and take time to love other people. There are lots of people in the world today that need some love. They need some care. They need someone to come alongside and tell them life is going to be okay. My job as a pastor is to remind you that you have a job to do. You have to keep your spiritual life in priority. You are not here to cheer me on. You are here to do a work. You are the church. You are. And as a pastor, that's what I want for you. I want you to have an experience with God in your own life. And that experience would be so real that you'd want to share it with other people. This morning, we were all here, and we sensed the presence of God, and God talked to people, and God was showing up, and we were being encouraged through the words of prophecy and encouragement. That was God showing up for you. Now that you can take that encouragement and go out and share it with somebody else. Because there's lots of people who are discouraged, lots of people who need a word from God to encourage their heart. God wants to reveal Himself to people, not just on Sunday mornings, every day. And I want people to experience God every day. What would our life be like if we experienced God every day? That's what your life should be like, experiencing God every day. When you pray and when you get up from that place of reading the Word or spending time in worship, you should have a sense of the presence of God in your life. My desire is to mobilize the church around these three aspects: reach, grow, and love. That we could make these, not just these concepts, but put them into action. That they would be actions in our own life. If we purpose in our hearts to live these aspects every day, what could God do with us? I believe He could do amazing things. If you were concerned about reaching out to other people every day, think of the people that you'd win to the Lord over a period of time. Let me ask you this question, and I don't want you to respond, but I want you to really think about this. We are in the year 2020. Last year, 2019, was there anyone at all that you influenced for the kingdom of God? Did you pray with anyone? Did anyone give their heart to the Lord? Did you move anyone a little closer? You know, sometimes we think, well, I said the sinner's prayer with three people. Well, that's wonderful. But we're all at different points in our walk with God. And our job is to move people closer. That's how I like to measure it. Did you move anyone closer to God? The Apostle Paul said, I planted and Apollo watered, We all have a job to do, whether you're watering someone else's seed, whether you're planting a seed. Did you do your job? Did you move someone a step closer through prayer, through love, through encouragement, through whatever? Think about last year. I want you to evaluate yourself. Did you do a good job last year? Well, if you didn't, let's get it right this year. Let's do more this year. Even if you did a lot last year, let's do more this year. Let's make 2020 a year where we move people closer. We're putting Jesus out there in front of them. We're praying for people. We're encouraging people. We're loving people. We're investing in people. We're reaching out. Let's be that kind of a person this year. I'm telling you, you ask God for opportunities, He'll give them to you all the time. He will. He will if you will just ask Him. We all need to serve the vision of the church. Serve the vision of the church, that we would be a people that would reach out, people that would grow, and people that would love. Let's all be a part of that. Me too. Me too. I believe that we will all experience God in a greater way if we will do what God has called us to do. You know, when I think of our church, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God has given us a body of believers here. That if I need prayer, I can come and ask some of you and you'll pray for me. If you need prayer, you can come and ask me and I'll pray for you. I thank God for this fellowship. We should value the things that God has given us. And I thank God that He has placed us here, not by accident, but by destiny. God has a plan for us. God has things for us to do. My last scripture here, Colossians 3:17. And whatever we do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Begin to think about in your own life how you can begin to reach out to the lost and the hurting. Boy, it doesn't take much. Is anyone hurting in your life? Someone going through a divorce, someone going through grief, someone going through loneliness, going through... Just take a moment and say, Lord, what can I do? Maybe the Lord will just tell you to take them out for coffee. Give them a $10 offering. Whatever it is, do it. And God will show up in their life. God will show up in your life. Just be obedient. Look for ways to grow spiritually. Look for ways to love God and love others. We're going to be talking more about this, but I just want you to begin to do what's in your heart to do. Begin to look in your heart and say, what is it that I can do? What is it that I can do for the kingdom of God? We can have all the plans in the world, but if we don't allow God to work through us and have an interest in spiritual things, God is limited in what He can do in the body. What's one thing that you can do for someone else this year? Begin to target someone. Begin to pray specifically for someone in your life. Begin to pray for them. Begin to sow seeds in their life. Begin to ask them to interact with you. The Bible is full of examples of people that mentored other people. Moses mentored Joshua. The Apostle Paul had Barnabas and Timothy and, you know, people that he mentored. Jesus had the 12 and he had the 3. We should be looking for people to invest in. We need to reach out this year for God. Father God, we thank You for our church. We thank You that we are the church of Jesus Christ, each one of us individually and corporately. We are Your church. We are Your hands. We are Your mouth. We are Your feet. Lord, we're asking You, Lord, that You would use us in a greater capacity this year. Lord, let 2020 be a year where we reach the lost. Let 2020 be the year where we encourage those around us, that we move people closer to Your presence. Lord, we know that You care about people. Lord, You love people. You don't want anyone to perish. So, Lord, we're asking You, Lord, to change our hearts. Give us a greater heart for the lost. Give us a greater desire to see people come to know You. Lord, help us to be the people You've called us to be. Lord, help us to be thankful. Help us to look for the good things. Help us to reach out and love the lost and the hurting. Father, help us to grow spiritually this year. Lord, help us. We call out to you today. Oh, that we could experience your presence every day. Lord, we love you. We thank you for our church, our local fellowship, God. We ask that you bless it, that you meet its need, that you meet the needs of this local body, that you help us to continue to grow and expand. Lord, that we pray that this place would be a place where the hurting could come in and be healed, where people could grow spiritually, where people would learn to love one another and love you, God. Lord, we thank you for this local fellowship that you've given us. Lord, you are the great shepherd. We are the under-shepherds. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to be a part of this local body here. We thank you that you have good plans in store for us, plans to bless us, plans to increase us, plans us to help us to be a greater influence in this community. We thank you for it, Lord. Lord, amplify our voice. Amplify our voice in the community, God. Lord, help us to be a great light, a great light. We thank you for it, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.